yourself to Philemon? And we'll read just the first few verses. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, to Aphael, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. That's our text. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now that verse 6 we'll get at another time. It's a hard verse to understand. Does everybody here understand what verse 6 is saying? That's a difficult verse. Let's read it again. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Everybody understand that?
Fine.
But our text is verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. And our subject, prayer. What is prayer? How do you define prayer? I'm going to give a definition. It will not be a definition as we know it. But then we'll come to the definition as we know it. Prayer is a communication between the creature and deity. Between the creature and deity. Now you will say to me, well, why don't you say between the creature and God? No, no. It depends on who your deity is. We have a lady assisting Vivian, and her deity is Allah. So prayer is a communication between the creature and deity. You remember in 2 Kings chapter 19, when Elijah challenged them, why halt between two opinions? If God be God, worship him, and if Baal, worship him. Baal was their God. And you remember how the challenge that Elijah gave. All right, you take a lamb, or rather, no, it wasn't a lamb. A bull. Call on your God. And the God that answers by fire, he is God. Well, they called and called and cut themselves and went through all sorts of manipulations. But he was their deity. But for us, prayer is communication between us and the only true and living God. That's what prayer is. Now, prayer has certain aspects. There's the point of view of supplication. Remember, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy, supplication should be made for all men. When you supplicate, you are the lesser talking to the greater, asking for something. Supplication is asking. And then there is intercession. When we intercede, we're asking the Lord for somebody else. And then there's another aspect of prayer which we seem so often to forget. Thanksgiving. I often think of those 10 lepers in the book of Luke. The Lord healed all 10. And only one came back to say thank you. And I get the impression whenever I read it, the Lord was hurt. He healed 10 and one? Only one came. You know, that's characteristic of the world today. People don't appreciate anything. You owe it to me. I don't have to say thanks. But thanksgiving is one aspect of prayer. And finally, what I consider, and I believe we all do, the highest aspect of communication with God is what we did this morning, worship. Occupied with our Lord Jesus Christ and his word. It's interesting that the word prayer and prayer occurs 350 times in the Bible. Must be important. One word 350 times in the Bible. But it's interesting that in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, there are several different words for prayer, different aspects of prayer. I suggest that for home study. We won't go into that now. So prayer is the expression of creature need and dependence. Stories told, and I've told this before, you've heard it. Little boy was going to school, and he met an older man whom he greeted very courteously. And the older man said to him, did you say your prayers last night? He said, no, I didn't say my prayers last night. Why didn't you say your prayers last night? I didn't need anything. That's not why you pray. We pray because we are dependent people. We're dependent on God. That's the reason for praying. Now the question is, when should we pray? And you remember what we read in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Men, including women, ought always to pray. Now the question is, how are you going to pray always? And you get it in Ephesians chapter 6. We won't turn to it. But the thought is prayer whenever you have an opportunity. That's what it is. Always pray. Whenever there's an opportunity. You're driving a car. There's a red light. You know it's going to be on for 2 minutes. Pray for 1 minute. Whenever you have a chance. I remember back in New York. My home was about 19 miles from the hospital where I worked. And we had on Tuesday night in the assembly prayer meeting, and on Friday night, ministry of the word. And those were the, and Sunday. Oh, Sunday, Tuesday, and Friday, those were the only days that I drove to work. And I took the train the other days. Do you know why? Train would take 45 minutes. I know when I got out, I could figure out when the train was going to stop at my station. So I just prayed. Pray at every opportunity you get. Now, where should we pray? And someone has put it this way. If the believer is in a situation where he can't pray, he's in the wrong place. Pray wherever you are. And if you find yourself in a place where you can't pray, then you shouldn't be there. Get out. Now the next question is, for whom should we pray? Again, this is a story, you probably have heard of it, of this little boy who sang his prayers at night. Dear Lord, bless mommy, bless daddy, bless Mary, bless me, us four and no more. Whom should we pray for? And we have to pray, we better look at this, whom we have to pray for. We have to pray for all saints. Ephesians 6. We are to pray for all saints. In this section dealing with the warfare of the believer, the last item mentioned is prayer. And it's a very important piece of the armor of the believer. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication and, that next expression, and watching thereunto. That's what I mentioned. Watch for every chance that you have to pray. That's what that means. Every time you have a chance to pray, seize it. For all saints. You have to pray for all saints. And I tell you, beloved, as I read, and I've been reading more recently in the last week, we get along fine here. But the persecution that many of the Lord's people are seeing in many parts of the earth, in parts of Africa, up in Europe, in the recently freed Russian nations, I might call them. South America. And did you know that saints are being persecuted in this nation? Did you know that? Well, I have a list here. I won't read it. But you'd be amazed how we are being persecuted, and most of us don't know it. That's a sad thing. We are to pray for all saints. And then in 1 Timothy we read, we are to pray And this is very important at this time. 1 Timothy chapter 2, where we read, verse 2, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. And they surely need it. All men. Kings and all that are in authority. And beloved, let me tell you, the president of this nation needs prayer. I am not saying right or wrong. That's not my concern. As leader of this nation, he needs prayer. His wife needs prayer. And as I mentioned Wednesday night, I feel particularly for his daughter. In school with all her schoolmates, and her dad is up there with all the scam. Pray for those that are in authority. Do you know whom that includes? The police officer on the street. He's an authority. When last did you pray for a police officer? A couple of them were killed there recently, weren't they? They need our prayers. They're trying to protect and help us. Pray for all men, those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and gravity. We are to pray for all men, pray for all saints. You'll have to turn again. It's back in Ephesians 6. Paul tells us to pray for all saints, but you know there's something there that I like. We read verse 18. The first three words of verse 19, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, says, pray for me. And I say the same thing, you pray for me. I'm always in need of prayer, and if you can't think of anybody to pray for me. And I mean that. We are none of us above and beyond the need of prayer. Then we are to pray for the sick. You get that in the book of James. We are to pray for the missionaries. You get that in the book of Luke. And you know who else we are to pray for? We better look at Luke chapter 6. This is a little hard. Luke chapter 6, verse 28. And we have a lot of them around. You have them on the job. You have them in school. Luke 6 and 28. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Pray for them. Don't get angry and argue back with them. They need our prayers. Those that abuse us. Those that seek to take advantage of us. And very often you find that on the job, don't you? Unfair practices on the job. Pray for them. All of these need our prayers. Now, the next thing, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. What are we to give thanks for? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We've mentioned this before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We like this one. Verse 18. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. I was in Florida some years ago in the dear sister's home, and we were talking in general, and I said, you know, the Bible says for everything give thanks. Ooh, she blew up. No, it says in everything. It doesn't say for everything. Ephesians chapter 5. And love, when you get ready to contradict, you better be sure what the Bible says. In everything, that's not too bad. In everything, give thanks. But Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for everything. Do all the Bibles read that way? We have to thank God for everything. And I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again. When our second daughter was about 2 years old, she took ill. I didn't know what was wrong with her. We sent her this specialist, this test, this x-ray, the other x-ray. And every evening I came home, her eyes looked larger and her cheeks more sunken. I mentioned that on Friday nights over there we had a ministry meeting, and the sister came over to me and said, "Have you thanked the Lord for your daughter's illness?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, that's what the Bible says." You see, the ministry of women, she wasn't on a platform, but she told me the truth. And I will tell you the truth. Before I could thank the Lord that that child was dying, it took me 2 weeks because I wanted to tell the truth. I had to ask the Lord to give me to truly and honestly say, "She is dying, and I thank you." She's alive today. Isn't that interesting? Just going by the word. We ought to be thankful for everything. Now, again, no, not again, Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians? Well, I haven't found it myself. Be careful for nothing. As a young fellow, I used to wonder, what in the world does that mean? Don't be careful about anything. That's not what that means. You remember what the Lord said to Martha? "You are cumbered with much care. You occupied with a whole lot of things. You have a mind, you worry too much." That's what this verse is saying. Don't worry so much. Don't worry at all. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Now that's just the introduction. Now we go on to the real substance. I have a nice piece here. Telephone runaround. Let me read it for you. "I needed to make a phone call to my insurance company. It's a good thing I started calling early. First came the busy signals. Next came a recorded message followed by music occasionally interrupted by a voice that said, 'Our lines are still busy. Please hold up or hang on.'" Has that ever happened to you?
Sure.
When you communicate with the Lord, has he ever done that? Telephone line is always open. And we take so little advantage of it. And there's another little one here. A hymn, not in our hymn book. "The Royal Telephone. Central is never busy. Always on the line. You may hear from heaven at any time. It's a royal service. Free for one and all. When you get in trouble, give this royal line a call." The need to pray. And there is no central, nobody to say that God is never busy. And by the way, he doesn't have a secretary. He takes all the calls himself. Isn't that nice? Don't have to worry about somebody in between who may not get the message right or may not pass the call on. What a Savior we have. And God doesn't keep office hours. Ever think of that? Any time of day or night, and that is what I tell my children. "You can disturb me if you want to call it that, You can get in touch with me any hour of day or night. And that's how God feels about us. We can always get in touch with Him. Now what I want to look at, the question of unanswered prayer. Why is it sometimes we pray and we don't get any answer? Unanswered prayer. Now there is a principle in all prayer. Matthew chapter 26, we looked at it this morning. The principle underlying all prayer, that is, prayer of a believer to God. The underlying principle, Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, saith to the disciples, sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. You know, that's another fascinating subject. The creator of heaven and earth, when he was down there, he prayed. We probably will have occasion to trace the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in the Gospel of Mark. It's amazing how many times he prayed. And it's amazing what he prayed for. And he was God. And among God's people, there are those that don't have time to pray. I'm in a hurry. You say a few words in the morning and less at night when you retire. That will not do. The creator of heaven and earth prayed. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, verse 37. He took with him Peter, two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch, stay awake with me. That's what watch means. He went a little farther, fell on his face and prayed. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And if prayer is not in the will of God, don't expect an answer. All prayer must be in the will of God. John chapter 5. And our lives must be in the will of God. You get that in 1 John. A life that's in the will of God, you can pray and expect an answer. John chapter 5, please. And verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And if we're going to have success in life, it must be as we follow the will of God the Father, seeking His will. Chapter 6, please. Verse 38. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. And our prayer and our whole lives must be in the will of the Lord if we expect answers. I have several of the scriptures here. I won't read them. Now, let's look at some examples of people, believers, who prayed, but they didn't pray in the will of the Lord. You'd expect a believer to pray in the will of the Lord, wouldn't you? But sometimes we don't. That's why we don't get answers. 1 Kings chapter 19. Our prayer must be in the will of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 4 about Elijah the prophet. We'll wait for everybody to find it. 1 Kings 19 and 4. He himself, Elijah, the great prophet, the one who would just call fire from heaven. And as an old man, he ran before the chariot that Ahab was in and ran up a hill. Not a hill, a mountain. I remember when I was in Israel, I went to this mountain. And I said, this old man ran up there. got to the top, God must have sustained him. Fine. Verse 4. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Elijah, the great prophet, came down and sat under a juniper tree. Now, he requested for himself that he might die, and he said, "It is enough. Lord, I can't take any more. I've had it. Oh, Lord, take away my life. I'm not better than my father's." He was only one of two men that went straight to heaven. Never did die. His prayer was not in the will of God. Book of Job, please. Job chapter 6. And so often it seems that the things that we want aren't the things that God wants for us. And we can get into a lot of trouble if we're going to force ourselves against the will of God. Job chapter 6. This is the early part of the book, isn't it? Verses 8 and 9. Job is speaking now. "Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant me the thing I long for." What is it, Job? "Even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. I want to die." Chapter 6. Suppose God had answered that prayer, we would never know anything about chapter 41, would we? And the mercy of the Lord. Praying out of the will of God. Paul did the same thing. You remember in 2 Corinthians? When he had that injury in the flesh. We don't know what it was. He prayed 3 times. "Lord, take it away. Lord, make me better." The Lord said, "I'm not going to make you better. My grace is sufficient." So that when we pray, we must be in the will of the Lord. And when we're not in the will of the Lord, we're not going to get an answer. Now, another thing, reason why we have unanswered prayer. We're out of tune with God, out of God's time. We're not keeping time with God. God keeps time, you know. And we have to keep time with him. He's not going to keep time with us. Read with me, please, in Acts chapter 16. Things must be done in God's time. Acts chapter 16. Verses 6 and 7. "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia." Please note that, Galatia. Put a mark there, anything. Galatia. "And were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." Put a mark on the Asia. Galatia and Asia. God said, "No, I don't." We want to go there. God said, "No, I don't want you to go there." "After they were come to Mysia and tried to go into Bithynia." Put a mark there, please. "But the Spirit suffered them not." That's where they wanted to go. That's not where God wanted them to go. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Now, remember those places that we marked. We marked Galatia, Asia, and Bithynia. The Lord said, "Don't go there. I don't want you there." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers," that is believers, "scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." God got the word there, didn't he? He didn't want them to take it. He had something else for them to do. So God will get his work done, but we must be in his will. It's very important to be in the will of God. And that's one reason why we don't get answers to our prayers. Not on God's time clock. Now the next one, James 4 and 3. I read it. I don't believe it pertains to anybody in here. But it's in the book. So we read it. James 4 and 3. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. I want, me first, me. And we ask the Lord, Lord, give me this, give me that. What do you want? Why do you want it? For His glory? Or just for yourself? And that's why oftentimes our prayers aren't answered, because me, I. Now that's what they're teaching, I know, the New Ages and that fellow with the big church there, and the one that preceded him that taught him all that nonsense, Peter. Power of positive thinking. You just think it, and it will be yours. Now, if it's God's will. Oh, no, be careful. All of this nonsense that they're preaching and people are taking it in. I wonder why people are taking in all of these things. Have you any idea? They're deceived. Good. He's deceiving. But not only that, they have, as you get in 2 Timothy, they have itching. That's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear what we're saying. So they go to all these fellows because these fellows are telling them what they want to hear. As our brother said, Satan's story. They have itching ears. I don't want to hear about the gospel and that I'm a sinner. I want to hear that I'm a good person. So you go over there and he tell you you're a good person. The lust of the flesh. Luke chapter 11. Another reason why prayer is not answered. Luke chapter 11. Verse 5. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Midnight now. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. Not a very nice reply, is it? Verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his insistence. When you pray, you just don't pray once and say, well, God didn't give it to me. Insist. If you need it bad enough and you're in the will of the Lord, ask. Insist. Because of his importunity, his insistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And then I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. So, beloved, don't stop praying because the first time you prayed you didn't get an answer. You keep at it and God will let you know if it's in his will or not. But you just know, I want so-and-so, Lord, please give me so-and-so. Ask one or two times, well, I'll go and get it myself. Don't do that. That's then you'll get into trouble. Chapter 18, please. We know this chapter well. We've read it many times. The Lord spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and don't faint. The answer doesn't necessarily come right away. May not be God's time. May not be the right time. There was in a city a judge who feared neither God nor man. That's interesting, isn't it? Are there any people in the world like that today? A whole lot of that's trouble. Much of the trouble. In the courts, wherever you go, they don't, God, man, no. So this judge feared neither God nor man. There was a widow in that city, and she came, the word there, I don't know how you have anything about it, but she came often. That's the meaning of it. She didn't come once. She came often to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary, and he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Verse 7. Shall not God give, avenge his own elect which cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with them? The time has not come. But don't give up on God. Keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. And in his time, he will answer the prayer. Another reason why prayer isn't answered, Matthew 21. Now, I would suggest below, for each of these scriptures that I'm reading, that we read today, look up all the scriptures you can find on the same subject. See, that's better than looking at TV. And you learn the Word of God and the mind of God. Matthew 11, verses 25 and 26. Unanswered prayer. I've asked the Lord and I haven't, and he hasn't answered me. Matthew 11, verse 25. Oh, pardon me. Mark 11. I'm sorry. Mark. Look at Matthew 11. I said, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Mark chapter 11. We must not have an unforgiving spirit. 11 of Mark, 25. When you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father who is in heaven will forgive you also. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. We ought to be a forgiving people. Brother so-and-so said so-and-so to me. I'm angry. Forgive him. Or if you don't want to forgive him, don't pray. Because you're not going to get an answer. Believers, yes. This is about believers. Us. Us. Ephesians 4 and 32, along the same line. Ephesians 4 and 32. A forgiving spirit. Don't bear anger. Do you know one thing? When you bear all that anger, it gives you high blood pressure. It's not good for your health. And some people get angry and they get hives. You get all sorts of things if you bear anger.
Yeah, if the offender doesn't get all that trouble, but it's the guy that takes offense.
That's right. Exactly. He's offended, you're angry with him, but nothing's happening to him, and you are burning up. Oh my. Forgive him, beloved, for Christ's sake. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one to another. Tender-hearted. Oh, isn't that a nice word? Tender-hearted. Now, we usually think of women as being tender-hearted. But brothers, you better get tender hearted. Well, what did the Lord do at Lazarus' grave? Didn't he weep? Today it's manly not to cry. Nonsense. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Has he forgiven us? Did he forgive us our sins? Well, let's forgive everybody that has offended us. He'll take care of it in the long run. Now, I know I'm over time, but we must finish. Oh, let's take a couple of... Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Verse 18. This is the verse that we know well. If there is unrighteousness in our lives, wrongdoing, sin, God will not. In fact, you shouldn't even bother to pray. How are you living in a sinful condition to talk about your praying to God? I say it respectfully. Who's kidding whom? 66 and 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, evil thinking, wickedness, the Lord will not hear me, so you're wasting time. The best thing to do is get rid of the iniquity, confess it to the Lord, and then when you pray, He'll answer you. There are a few more here, we won't go into them. We haven't finished the subject, but we'll stop here. So we have two subjects to complete, prayer and the human tongue. In the will of the Lord, on Wednesday, we'll talk some more about the tongue and the trouble that it can give. James 3. As I said before, that's a masterpiece. A little bit of a thing like the tongue gets the whole body in trouble. Isn't that amazing? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again we bow in thy holy presence. We give thee thanks for who thou art. A holy, righteous God. We give thee thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son. We thank thee that he came and bore our sins in his body on the tree. And that is how we can be here. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit whom thou hast sent to teach us and to open our eyes and give understanding concerning thy word. We think of thy word ministered during the Sunday school hour and even during this last little time that we've spent with thee. We ask thee to bless thy word to us, that we may not only have a knowledge of the word, but that we may put it into practice. Bless us now as we take leave of this sacred enclosure. Take us home in peace and safety, grant thy blessing upon us, and according to thy will, that we may meet again on Wednesday night. We give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.